Hello and welcome to the Hornets and Heartbreak podcast. My name is Mark Bernacki and I'm here with my co-host, Tim Rogers. What's up, Tim?
What it do, Liquor Mark?
I'm doing pretty well, man. So today we are going to be ranking the guards under 25 years old, breaking them down into tiers. So this does not include Donovan Mitchell, Devin Booker, Jamal Murray, or Jaylen Brown. They are all 25 years old. I'm going to just sort of present my rankings to Tim, and then Tim, you're going to, you know, try to pick it apart. You're going to fail. I'm going to tell you that you're wrong. And we're going to start off with this first tier here. Kind of in a tier of his own is Luka Doncic, but I just threw him in there with two other guards. So I think are also, you know, similar level, but not quite Luka level, obviously. Luka Doncic, number one, Ja Morant, number two, Trey, number three. That is the first tier of players under 25 that are guards.
Yeah, going to have to push back on that one. I think it's pretty clear Luka is in a tier of his own. You know, yes. As much as I love Trey and detest Ja, I wouldn't have either one of them in there. And I look at tier one as someone that can be the best player on like a finals team. And I don't think that either one of those guys has shown that. Luka obviously has not been to the finals yet, but he's got the size. And I think he's a clear rung above these other guys. One thing about Luka, I will say that we have to stop doing, people bring up Luka's playoff averages. They're like, he's up there with Jordan, 33 points a game. No one's ever averaged 33, 6-6. It's like, dude, he's played three first round series so far. Yeah. Like he's never like, stop doing that. Is like my biggest pet peeve in the world. He's got like 20 games under his belt against Paul George. It's like, cool. Like that definitely is the equivalent to Michael Jordan.
I would have him in a tier of his own. We can go ahead and audible that. I mean, he's clearly above John Trey. I just didn't want to do a standalone tier when I was making these rankings. It's not aesthetically pleasing, but he is obviously above those two. And then I have, so John Trey in a tier, you know, below that. Trey made it to the conference finals last year. Ja making it to the semifinals this year. Probably going to lose to the Warriors, although he's not playing. And I would have those two, you know, obviously Ja above Trey for me. And you're going to have Trey above Ja. But we like have talked about that so much on the podcast. I think neither of us are going to change our opinion on that. And we're just going to have to like settle it, like pick a date 5 years down the road. And then we'll rediscuss it because neither of us are budging on that, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. Jal's going to be on like his fourth team by then, probably his 18th knee surgery. Well, because we are projecting forward here. So this is, you know, like going ahead. I think Jal's knees, like it's now becoming more of a question. Obviously, like, you know, the Derrick Rose comps have come for many reasons and, you know, don't think it's going to have the same career trajectory as that. But he did have surgery on his knee before he ever played in the NBA. This is like the third time this season that he's had some knee issues that have kept him out for an extended period of time. It is a little worrisome.
Yes. Yeah, I think that would be the biggest argument for Trae Young over Ja Morant is the potential for injury. And I hear you on that. And the Derrick Rose comps, like, you know, it's silly to like compare those two players because obviously Derrick Rose had like tragic injury history, but they do play just like so similarly. They're two incredibly athletic guards. Like I would say, you could throw John Wall into the comparison as well, similar to John Wall, except not quite the passing ability and a little bit more explosive, I would say. But yeah, those kind of players do tend to have injury issues. So that's the biggest argument for Trey. Would you have anybody else in like the Ja Trey tier, Tim?
So if we are projecting for this was kind of the hardest call for me. I'm going to have them just in tier two on their own. I think that they've established enough that, you know, not only now and going forward. Yeah. I think they belong in their own tier.
Okay, cool. Tier three is for me, LaMelo, Cade, Anthony Edwards, SGA, Darius Garland. And we said that we're projecting forward to kind of clarify what we mean by that is like next 5 years, who would you rather have on your team? And I have LaMelo at the top of this tier. And I don't think I'm being a homer there. He's tall, you know, he's 6'7", 6'8", and he has the best passing ability of any of these players. Also, of the first eight players, do you know who shot the best percentage from three this season, Tim?
I'm going to go with LaMelo Ball.
It is LaMelo Ball. He shot higher percentage than any of the players I've said so far, including Trae Young. by just like 0.7%. So obviously, you know, there's some variance there in this season, but shocking that he has the best 3-point percentage of, you know, any of those eight players. That is not something we would have said going into the, you know, this season or going into LaMelo's career. What's your biggest, I guess, gripe with my rankings there? Again, I'll give it one more time. LaMelo, Cade, Anthony Edwards, SGA, Darius Garland.
I had the same tier, except I did not have Edwards in there. Just because I can't really picture what it would look like if Edwards was the best player on a team. You know, it's kind of a ball stopper. Obviously, you know, great score and everything. And he could just end up being awesome. I think it'd be a little harder to build around him. One thing that is standing out to me as I'm looking at these is LaMelo is, once again, like the most malleable of these players, which seems strange. But, you know, Luka, obviously, you want him to have the ball in his hands. Looks pretty weird when he's off ball. Ja obviously has his issues, not a great shooter. Trey really, he clearly does have some issues that I have not addressed yet, but his inability to play off ball is a big problem, especially, you know, when you see like in these playoffs, if you just trap Trey, I mean, he just kind of stops. And, you know, the Hornets had big success with that as well. That size is concerning. So, yeah, I mean, I think LaMelo, Garland is someone that I'm very interested, you know, going forward, because if Mobley does make the leap that we expect, I don't think Garland would be the best player on his team. But I think it's pretty easy to build a good offense around any of these guys, I would say, is this tier. You're not a guaranteed top five offense, but, like, you're going to be above water just with these guys.
Yeah, I think this tier for me was basically players that can be best players on a team, right? Like on a playoff team. And some of them have already shown that, you know, LaMelo play-in team, Darius Garland play-in team, Anthony Edwards maybe the best player on the T-Wolves in the playoffs, right? Because Cat didn't play that well. So some of them have already shown it. And SGA, obviously best player on the Thunder. But the Thunder are not very good. I'd say I'm lower on SGA than most. You know, he puts up numbers on a bad Oklahoma City team. And, like, I'm not saying – obviously, I still have him in this tier. I think some people would have him above where I have him in those rankings. But I just think that when you're on a bad team, like, you just can't judge the player that accurately yet. And we've seen tons of players over the years put up numbers on bad teams and then move to a good team and the numbers go down. He did have that one year where he was the second-best player on the playoff team with the Thunder. That was in his second season. He averaged 19 points per game that year. So that plays in his favor, but, like, they weren't that good, right? They lost in the first round, that team with Chris Paul. So, I mean, yeah, I have him slightly below, you know, Anthony Edwards in terms of next 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, I would push back on that team not being that good. I mean, they did push, I would say, a far superior Rockets team to seven games, you know, came within a Lu Dort three of a closing it out. And yeah, I mean, I think that SGA, I think he's got the size. I mean, he's the best finisher out of any of these guys.
Yes.
I think that he also can, you know, play on and off ball. You know, the shot doesn't look super pretty, but it is hard to evaluate him. But I mean, I would say even if you put Luka on OKC, I mean, they're not sniffing the playoffs.
You don't think that Luka would make OKC sniff the playoffs?
No, Sam Presti would probably break his leg in the training camp. Yeah, I mean, there is no chance. I do think, I mean, it is a hindrance. I feel bad for SGA. Like, I'm not saying that he's, you know, the second best out of any of these guys, but, I mean, his career has pretty much been stalled for two straight seasons. Yes. You know, just phony injuries kind of keeping him out. It is a shame. I love watching Shea. Yeah, I'm really interested to see what exactly they do. I wouldn't be surprised if OKC trades SGA like next season. You know, got to get value. And I think that that's kind of just a stupid way of going about things. It's like, oh, yeah, we could take Alfred Şengün, but, oh, man, we could get another first-round pick next year instead.
Yeah.
It's sad to see a great player just be wasted like that. But, yeah, I think he's firmly in the tier. Cade is the guy that I'm really curious for. Was very high on him pre-draft. And really, he was bad his first, like, 10 days he got back, you know, from injury in the league. And other than that, Cade was pretty awesome his rookie year.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. And he is going to be the most interesting of these. He's also, like, the most uncertain, I would say, in these rankings. We know the least about him, right? The same thing I said about OKC being a bad team. I mean, he's on a terrible team in Detroit. So, like, we don't really know what's up with Cade yet. But I would say the future is bright for Cade. I mean, I have him firmly below LaMelo, but just a little bit. Garland, I was lower on, you know, throughout the season. I've come around a little bit after watching him, you know, in the play-in games and just like seeing him perform. Similar like player to Darius Garland, Trae Young. I wanted to throw that out there also. I think they're both like smaller guards who are really good at passing and just kind of like running an efficient offense. Not like a flashy passer like LaMelo, but like, you know, he gets it done. He gets 8 assists a game.
Yeah, you definitely, you feel it when like playing Cleveland, you're just like, oh, we can, you know, like first possession, oh, this guy's pretty small. And then halfway through the third quarter, you're just like, my God, man, he is just slipping in all these great passes. Very solid finisher, just so fast. Yeah, it will be interesting to see because, you know, obviously he had the Sexton experiment, did not work. It would be interesting to see like who you would pair with Garland going forward. Cleveland, I think I'm really looking forward to them next season. I'm just intrigued. I don't know if they're going to be like a no doubt playoff team, but just want to watch them.
Yeah, agree. All right, next tier. I got Tyrese Maxey, Jordan Poole, Tyler Herro, and that's it for that tier. These three players, I'm thinking like probably not going to be quite the best player on a playoff team, right? But they can be a very solid number two. And, you know, maybe Anthony Edwards is also in that same boat of like a solid number two option. But they're both they're all young players that can score very well, including I threw Tyler Herro in this mix because I think what he's done on like a very good Heat team as like the third best player is impressive. And he often like I feel like gets forgotten about in these kind of rankings. But yeah, what do you think about that tier?
I have a question. Did you forget about Halliburton?
No, I did not forget about Halliburton. I have him in the next tier. I have him in the next tier below these three players. Kind of harking back to our days of F your rookie. I'm gonna eternally have Halliburton lower than most people should have him. Just because of that rookie of the year debate from his rookie year, I'll always have some disdain for Halliburton.
That is next level hating. I have, which I know this kind of goes against the whole idea of tiers. I have a tier 3.5, which is like best player on a fringe playoff team. That's where I have Edwards and Halliburton. And okay, then my fourth tier, would be at Poole, Herro, and, Maxey as well. Yeah. I've never really been a big Maxey guy. Like I think he's fine. I think I wouldn't say he's a dime a dozen. Like that's too harsh. But yeah, I mean, it's like, okay, he's a small scoring guard. It's like, you know, it looks good when it works, but how much is he really helping your team? Seems like kind of a high replacement value. And I will say this was kind of spurred by Bill Simmons and Russillo had a young guard ranking, and they had Jordan Poole over LaMelo Ball.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we're all prisoners of the moment somewhat. I mean, in that Denver series, I was like, oh my God, you know, he's better than Steph Curry ever was. You know, you get caught up in that a little bit. And it looks so like when Poole is on, it looks amazing. Yeah. Like he does look like one of the 10 best players. But just realistically, if Jordan Poole is like the best player on your team, you're winning 30 games.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. He can score very well, but he doesn't have the other assets that like the guards in the previous tier have. You know, he's not going to be the best player on a team, but he can be a very effective scorer in like in that role, can be great. I think he could be the second best player on a very good team. But he's not going to be Steph Curry.
Yeah, that's fair. And Herro kind of in the same boat. I've never really been a fan, and that's, you know, we're talking about bias. I mean, I hate the Miami Heat, and I've never tried to hide that. Never will try to hide that. He was so good in the bubble, which, you know, I think we've kind of gone back and realized that shooting in the bubble was just outrageous. I think he's fine, but he also, you know, getting to play with Butler and Bam in that Miami system where everyone just looks awesome all the time, kind of hard to evaluate both he and Poole, like what they would do in just like a neutral situation.
Yeah, similar. I mean, same with Maxey too. Like the 76ers, obviously, they just lost. And like they're a train wreck, but they still like have good players on the team, and they like still Maxey's boosted by Embiid, right? Yeah. So these are three very similar players. I probably just had them in the same tier because of their similarities, I would say.
Yeah, I think that's fair. You know, like they're not, to call them specialists would be, you know, a bit much. They're more than that, but feel like every, like they almost swapped off depending on the week. There were certain weeks where guys were talking like, Man, you know, when you have Maxey and Harden, like, there's no need to trade for Damian Lillard. Like, you just wouldn't do that. It's like, okay, like, you know, let's simmer down here a bit. Yeah, don't really love any of these guys. Like, I think they're fun to watch, but they just kind of leave me cold.
Yes, the Jordan Clarkson tier.
The Jordan Clarkson
I'm just kidding. Nah. Next tier, I got Josh Giddey, De'Aaron Fox, RJ Barrett and Tyrese Haliburton. Again, Haliburton last is kind of a bit. I'll give you that. But I have him last in my rankings. Josh Giddey, I maybe have a little bit too high in my rankings. But I just love watching him play. His passing ability and then his size are tantalizing for me. As a rookie, I loved watching him this season. He was one of my favorite players to watch. De'Aaron Fox has sort of fell off in these rankings. Like a couple years ago, you might have had him in that tier with like LaMelo, Cade, SGA, et cetera. But he's just not really done much these past couple seasons, especially this last year in Sacramento. And Sacramento just continues to be extremely disappointing, like year after year. Every year you're like, oh, this is the year they're going to be the eighth seed. And then it's like, nope, not going to happen. RJ Barrett, I think, had a good year with the Knicks. And I think you could maybe have him higher, honestly. I'm a little bit higher on RJ than most, I would say. And then Haliburton again at last kind of a bit, but I have him last.
Yeah, I think in retrospect, we should probably I would bump Barrett up a tier. Mm-hmm. And Fox, yeah, I mean, I would say after his was that his second year? I mean, he might have even been in like the second tier. There was like some insane hype after that Dave Yeager year. But yeah, it is kind of strange. It's hard to parse out like, okay, this guy plays in Sacramento and they're just completely incompetent, or like how much of it is like, you know, he does have to take some responsibility.
Yeah.
He's, you know, the quote unquote franchise player, and it's kind of been a disaster. Coming out of Kentucky, it looked like he was going to be like a good defensive guard, but he's just kind of too small. The shooting has never really seemed real. And then they had Luke Walton for a little while, who like wanted them to walk the ball up the court. You know, obviously they drafted Haliburton and, you know, not total believers. Yeah. I don't know. Fox is one of the hardest guys. Like, you know, I feel like he's going to get traded in a year and people are going to be really excited for 2 weeks. And then they're going to be like, oh yeah, De'Aaron Fox, you can't really score in the half court.
Yeah. Yeah. Nah, he's definitely fell off, from his rankings a couple of years ago. So for this last year, it's just kind of like uncertainty with these players, I would say. You know, De'Aaron Fox in Sacramento, Tyrese Haliburton hasn't done anything, but he's been a winning player, supposedly. RJ Barrett, you know, bad Knicks team this year, but he was the best player on that team. So we don't really know what's up with RJ either. And then Giddey, just a kind of a flyer, you know, might pan
out. Yeah, you stamp your name on that one. When you you told me like 5 minutes before we started, like, oh, where do you have Giddey? I didn't know he was an option.
All right, yeah. If we're being real, it's like Barrett, Fox, Haliburton, and Giddey. That's the rankings. But I had to throw Giddey in there because of my high draft rankings on him before the draft. Right, we both were, you know, enticed by him, but I would say I had him a little bit higher when he went to Oklahoma City early in the draft. I was like, dang it, we missed out. And then where do you have Book Knight in this tier, Tim?
He is somewhere significantly below even Josh Giddey, which is super sad. But, you know, again, he's been working out. He's been getting there before the gym even opens. So, I mean, you know, book him for most improved player going forward. Yeah, in retrospect, I'm gonna bump Barrett up to the fourth tier, and I think I'm gonna take Harrow down.
Okay, tier. Gotcha. Yeah, you could. I mean, that's reasonable. I think that Harrow's like success, I value like his winning with Miami. You know, he's not.
Oh, but see, enticing. I don't like that's, you know, like, are we really giving him credit for winning in Miami? Like, how many times has Spo come out and been like, man, no chance to win that game without Harrow's defense? Man, his distributing was awesome. It's like, you know, he got drafted to kind of the perfect situation. And I mean, he's making the most of it. Like, he's a talented guy, but yeah, I don't know. I just, he's one of those guys where I don't have to re-examine my biases, but yeah, I don't think he's very good.
Yeah. I mean, I see what you're saying. Like, in a vacuum, who would you rather have? You know, Tyler Harrow is probably lower, but like, he's actually done it, right? He's actually like won games for Miami. in valuable games. And I mean, in the finals, right? Like in
everybody be like, you know, man, George Hill really just racking up wins with the Bucks, man. he just gets it done.
All right. I see what you're saying, Tim. I see what you're saying. All right. That wraps up our rankings. I don't know if we have any honorable mentions other than Book Night, but yeah, that wraps up the guards under 25. And Tim, we have massive podcast news to present to the listeners here. We are going to be joining the All Hornets Podcast Network, a Sports Illustrated podcast network, starting May 20th. This feed will go dormant. We're going to be moving over to a new podcast feed. There will be a couple other Hornets podcasts on that feed, including ours. That feed is not yet available, but you guys will need to subscribe to that feed. This feed's going to go dormant. We'll have our last episode on this feed next week, and then we're going to be moving over to the All Hornets Podcast Network. Yeah, anything to say on that, Tim?
Yeah, I just want to say that I feel like anytime something like this happens, the hosts are always like, you know, nothing's going to change, going to be the same product, don't worry about it. But that is actually the case. We have full autonomy over what gets released, and, you know, we'll still, if something were to happen like LaMelo's rookie year, we're still doing Fuck Your Rookie. You know, it's going to be the exact same podcast, actually. We're just going to be on a different feed with some talented people. And yeah, we're very excited. Mark got his first article up yesterday, official contributor.
Yeah, so we are very, very excited about it. And, you know, when you make a change like this, we need the support of our listeners. So when we drop that new podcast feed, everyone go over, subscribe to it. Share it with your friends. Do everything that you need to do. We'll get you guys some updates on that next week. But yeah, so the first article up was just a small contribution for me in like sort of a, what was it called? A group, you know, group piece on Rudy Gobert or Donovan Mitchell. Yeah, roundtable. Yep, roundtable on who would you take, Rudy Gobert or Donovan Mitchell. I went with Rudy Gobert for the Hornets. Because, you know, we've been lacking in a solid big for a decade now. And yeah, I just think that he fills the need more than Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell, a better player in a vacuum, but on the Hornets, we need defense. And Rudy Gobert provides that. Donovan Mitchell does not.
Yeah, I think that is perfectly summarized there. Yeah, I mean, you know, Gobert is a winning player and Donovan Mitchell is a coattail rider, which, you know, nothing wrong with that. Donovan Mitchell, you know, he'll really get you to 39 wins on his own. And man, when he scores 20 points in the third quarter twice a season, my God, those highlights are nice.
Are we going to have to go back to the Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell argument? Tim, this is funny. This like is coming up in Hornets context because me and Tim randomly last year had like a two-part Rudy Gobert or Donovan Mitchell episodes where we were just like, who's better? And you picked Rudy Gobert. I picked Donovan Mitchell. I'm still riding with Donovan Mitchell in a vacuum, best player. But for the Hornets, it's Rudy Gobert. Not to mention that Rudy Gobert, I think, is more available, you know, than Donovan Mitchell. I think the Jazz are going to ride it out with Donovan over Gobert because they've sort of seen the Gobert experience not work in the playoffs over the past few seasons. And, you know, let's buy low on Rudy Gobert. He's got to be at his lowest value over the past 5 years, probably. And so let's get a Jazz East, you know, as Ben Golliver said,
Jazz East. I think that those takes were almost like the Harden Simmons trade. I think that both parties just lost. there's no real winner of that argument. Yeah, I mean, I was pushing for Rudy and like, you know, it wouldn't be hurt if we did it, but, I got to say, now that we've started some draft prep that we're going to start rolling out probably next week, I got my eyes on some young bigs that I think I would rather just roll the dice on than go all in for Rudy.
Yeah, what's the cost of Rudy? What do you think we'd have to give up? Gordon Hayward, two first-round picks?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard anything from, I think Rod Boone recently reported that Hayward is viewed as like a neutral asset, which I think is pretty good. I've kind of been factoring in almost being a little negative. I would think like Hayward, two first round picks, and I wouldn't be surprised if they wanted, you know, PJ, Book Night, if Book Night has any value. Like I think it would be kind of a substantial haul, especially, you know, if we're not gonna have if we get Rudy, then we don't have a first round pick next year either, owed to the Knicks, which I guess now is with the Hawks, I believe. Yeah, I'm just Rudy once again. He just, I was fascinated by it during the season, but now that it's kind of worn off a little bit, I think it's just a stay away.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Next on the topics here, Tim, is Liquor Mark's Degenerate Gambling Corner, everybody's favorite segment. Tim, I've been having a lot of success in the second round here. I texted you the other night, just like super happy. I bet on the Bucks live plus 1400 to win against the Celtics. Made a lot of money on that. I'm 7-1 on second round bets. My only loss being a loss by 50 points. on the Warriors against the Grizzlies. But yeah, things are going very well. Also bet on the Mavs last night. And I'm trying to think what else I've done. Lots of success, Tim. It's another successful playoff gambling year for me. And I got the Celtics locked in tonight at plus 1.5.
Book it. Yeah, I was watching the end of the Milwaukee game with your bets in mind. You know, always root for a friend to win. And I could not imagine how crazy you must have been going when Bobby Portis grabbed that ball. It's like, whoa!
I was going insane. So context, I was in my buddy's house and like he was like, let me get a little bit of action on that too. And I was like, okay. And I put $10 in for him to win like 62. So it was me and him both excited. And I won more than that. I like took them at like before the game, you know, plus whatever. And then I was like, oh, they're up to plus 450. Took them again. And I was like, oh, they're up to plus 1400. Full send. And I took them again. And yeah, they beat the Celtics. Big win. I'm rocking with the Celtics tonight, though. I think that series is going 7.
I hope the series goes 7 because it has been amazing so far. And we were talking about it yesterday, and you know, cliches are cliche for a reason. And the Bucks, man, hard to have a champion win. Mm. Like very easily could have just kind of thrown it out, you know, halfway through the fourth quarter, just kind of given up. That was amazing. And the fact that it was Marcus Smart that was kind of the butt of the joke at the end just made it so sweet. I've been in on the Celtics for probably the last like 3-4 months. And my one hesitation has always been Marcus Smart. Didn't think he deserved Defensive Player of the Year. Thought that was honestly ridiculous. Just kind of hate watching him.
Green hair, not a good look.
Yeah, just that, you know, he's biting Kai Jones style. You know, it's just it's embarrassing.
Stealing Kai Jones' style. I don't think he's aware that Kai Jones dyed his hair, dude. I don't think he knows about that. Well, who are you taking in the Grizzlies Warriors series this next game?
If the Warriors don't win tonight, I mean, they're a joke. I mean, that game was embarrassing. Like, yeah. I've kind of like, since the playoffs have started, I've turned into a Warriors fan. I love watching the Warriors. Steph's my guy, obviously. To run the offense through Draymond, like, just don't get so cute with it. Like, I don't understand what they're, like, Steve Kerr always does this. Steve Kerr refuses to hunt mismatches. He always like, oh, we're going to keep playing the system. It's like, you have Steph Curry and Steven Adams is out there. Why are you not just putting him in space, spamming pick and rolls? You have multiple guys that are capable of doing it. Yeah, I mean, my bet tonight is the Warriors come out and they win by 15.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think they're minus, SmackDown.
They're minus 8. My general gambling philosophy that everybody should follow is to try to bet against what people think is going to happen, right? Or like kind of where the public is leaning. And I think there's probably like a little bit too much Grizzlies buzz right now after that big win. So I would say take Warriors minus 8, although I have not made that bet yet.
You know what you're not factoring in, though?
What am I not factoring in?
There's no Ja Morant, so the Grizzlies probably are going to win.
I hate you, Tim.
Am I wrong? They just won by 50.
Yeah, their record without Ja is crazy. It's wild how much of a statistical anomaly that is and how that has nothing to do with actual basketball. Yeah.
If it happens again next season, I know that's still too small of a sample size, but it's just so funny. Like, I don't believe it either, but every time they win, I just crack up.
Tim texts me like at least like once a month and it's like, Ja didn't play tonight, Grizzlies won.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have to, after a while, I didn't even have to include that. It was understood. Shout out to the Grizzlies GM for getting executive of the year, though. Really like the way that they draft. And the Hornets do it somewhat a little bit where like we have drafted a lot of sophomore players. Like we're not just going with the youngest guy available. And yeah, it turns out that if you just pick solid players, even if they're 22 years old, it's probably a good strategy.
Yeah, 100%. All right, shout out to all of our supporters on Winnow and on Patreon. You can subscribe to our Winnow to get text updates about the team and about the podcast. Again, we're moving over to the All Hornets Podcast Network next week, May 20th. So everyone look out for that. But shout out to our supporters, Xavier Harvin, TC Cunningham, Brandon Garcia, Austin Johnson, Isaac Black, Dan Joseph, Aaron Barton, and Caitlin Ferland. Thanks, everybody.
And thank you to everyone that's taken the time to listen this deep into the podcast. We really appreciate it. And thank you to anyone that's ever taken the time to listen to any of our podcasts. We really appreciate it. If you could be so kind as to rate, review, and subscribe, we would appreciate that as well.
I guess hold off on your rate, review, and subscribe until next next
Friday. Nah, we're pumping the numbers even now. Pump and dump.
All right, bro. It's been real.
All right. It's been real. Be safe out there, Liquor Mark.
Peace.
Peace.